And a great day to you, Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani. Debbie is back. She was traveling during the show yesterday, and my security blanket is back with me. So I made it through, Debbie, without you. It's take two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. Debbie is actually on location. Why don't you tell people where you are and what you're doing?
In Traverse City, Michigan, with Barriga Radio. We're having the first day of Fall Pledge Drive, and it's just been a blast. It's just been wonderful to be back here, and took me a long time to get here, though. I had two mechanical failures on the plane from Chicago to Traverse City, and so I actually didn't get in till after midnight. And then we started the pledge drive this morning. So, yeah, I want everybody. I want the sympathy. No, I'm just teasing. But I really would love all the Barriga. Just big shout out to Barriga Radio listeners. Please pledge. Be generous. We want 100% full funding for the next 6 months. And so it's a great time, Jerry. I mean, we're in pledge drive season, and it's wonderful to just hear all the testimonies of folks that have been changed because of Catholic Radio.
That's right. As I was saying yesterday when Debbie was traveling, wherever you happen to listen, however, whatever means you listen to, if there is a funding need there, EWTN, the different networks, the individual stations, please, when you hear them come on the air, dear friends, Catholic Radio has come and gone in some areas, and it's harder than ever to get it back, and sometimes it never does come back. So let's make sure that we support it with all that we possibly can. Today, Debbie, I came up with this this title for the show, Whose Fingerprints Are on Your Life? And dear friends, here's what we want you to call about. If there's someone, a mom, your dad, a mentor, a coach, maybe a religious education teacher, a neighbor, maybe a total stranger, somebody who did or said something at some point in your life, and you can now look back on that and say, wow, that changed me, or that helped to shape me, that influenced me to be the person I am today. And so, therefore, everything that you do for the rest of your life kind of has their fingerprints on it. Do you see the idea? You get it, Debbie? I know you get it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've been thinking about it for a couple of days now of whose fingerprints are on. I would actually say my ministry life, because that's what's really impacted me the most. And I just, it's interesting that you came up with this, Jerry, because it does give you that just beautiful, precious time to really reflect back on all those who have shaped your life and have influenced and have, you know, like you said, left their thumbprint, if you will, on what they offered you in growing and becoming the best version of yourself. And it's really a phenomenal exercise, I think. And it really makes you, it does for me anyway. It's filling me with a lot of gratitude. Most of the people that I can thank are deceased. So I bet that the best way I can thank them is to say a prayer for them. So,
is there one example? Can you point to one person?
Oh, yeah.
I know we can all point to, you know, parents and family and so forth, and maybe it is one of them for you. But for me, it's not a family member that I'm going to share. But go ahead.
Well, that's interesting. I have several, but this one is a family member, simply because he was just so instrumental in my life. Well, actually, now he keeps adding because there's more. My aunt and uncle, my aunt, the Dominican sister, who's residing in Caldwell, New Jersey. I think she's over 90 now. She's still going strong. She's the one who got me inspired about delving into the angels, and it changed the whole direction of my spiritual life. And then, of course, my uncle, my mom's brother, oldest brother, diocesan priest in New Jersey. He passed away several years ago. He was I think I shared it several times. He was the seminary professor for Father Benedict Rochelle. But he gave me such a profound, see, I'm going to get teary-eyed. He gave me such a profound teaching depth to the Eucharist. And that, of course, as we all know, being the source and summit of our faith, that just, you know, it just melted my heart to the point where it made me want to go on for a theology degree and want to go on into ministry and change from a whole business background all the way over to ministry. You talk about swinging the pendulum.
Right.
So, yeah. And then there's, of course, teachers and stuff that have had influence by just their positive comments. But these two, primarily for my spiritual life and for ministry, I think has really changed it. But I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
Well, I also want to say, not only did your uncle influence you, his fingerprints are on everything you do now in your life, but think about he taught Father Benedict Groeschel, mm-hmm. and look at all the great work that God did through Father Benedict. So, dear friends, we are asking you, who has been instrumental in shaping you? Really, deep down inside of you, you say, if it were not for this person or that person or what they said or did or some action that they took in your life, you wouldn't be who and where you are today. 1-800-585-9396. We really encourage you to call early if you want to get on the show, because lines do tend to fill up fast. Again, it's 1-800-585-9396. And you mentioned getting emotional, Debbie, and I don't think that I will at this time, but I wanted to share about she's deceased now. Her name was Anne McChrystal, mm-hmm. and many Catholic radio listeners know her because she was involved in Catholic radio for many years, and she was my bookkeeper for the last few years of her life until she got ovarian cancer, and then it was treated and in remission. But Anne was just somebody who understood human nature and people, and she had been, around the block a little bit in terms of just having a great wisdom and a great compassion. And in 2011, many of our listeners know, I went through that year of depression, and I happened to be in Portland, Oregon, where she was, and we went out to lunch, and she knew I was depressed and very, very serious. It was a very serious, horrific case of depression. And she actually just brought up some things from that she intuited about my life and some wounds and things. She was just really kind of delving in to some things I needed to get in touch with and really needed healing for. And I was sobbing. I was a sobbing mess. And the waitress, poor waitress, kept coming over. Do you need more water or anything? I'm like, no, I'm good. Thanks. And she was just almost in shock, because for an hour or so I was just bawling at the table. I mean, really, from deep inside of me. And I asked Anne, I said, what made you go there, to these different, things that she brought up? She says, God revealed them to me last night.
Wow.
So in prayer, God showed her some areas of my life that needed really to let God in there, to let his healing and the Holy Spirit in there. So I believe that Anne truly helped to keep me alive during that year, and I wrote her a letter shortly before she died a few years ago, and I said, Anne, your fingerprints are going to be on everything that I do, because I was coming out of the depression, regaining joy and peace in my life. And I said, Anne, there is no question, whatever God in his foolishness chooses to use me for in the rest of my life, it will have your fingerprints on it. And I really believe that, Debbie. So, dear friends, that's an example of what we're talking about. Someone whose words or actions really profoundly changed your life and brought you to where you are today. So, anyway, I love Anne so much. I pray for her and actually pray to her a lot.
I know you do, Jerry, because you've actually mentioned Anne and the wonderful friendship you had with her, and it's so, you can tell it's very much part of your being now. And I think that's what's very interesting about this topic. We talk about, whose fingerprints are on your life, but really they become part of you. And it's a beautiful thing. And then you can relate that in a bigger sense, that we're all the body of Christ and how connected. And you talk about how Anne prayed about it and it was revealed to her to say what to say to you. But that's all because God wants us to be connected and wants us to be an influence, a positive influence on each other. So I'm excited to see what our listeners have to say about this, and we hope you are too. So dial in 1-800-585-9396. Whose fingerprints are on your life? We'll be right back.
This is Father Stephen Imbrato, Priest for Life with Pro-Life Update. As abortion continues, there's a growing mountain of medical evidence that abortion harms women, men, and families. Even researchers who identify themselves as pro-choice are coming to this conclusion and publishing their research. Abortion advocates try to hide and bury this information, but they cannot stop it from coming out. Every September, the Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion Initiative focuses on the damage abortion does to the whole family. Relationships are damaged, trust is compromised, communication is stifled, intimacy is blocked, and the effects are intergenerational. Yet healing is available, and this healing is not just individual, but involves the whole family as well. Strong families make for a strong society. At AbortionShockwaves.com, you will find more information both about the wounds and the healing. This is Father Stephen Imbrato, the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Podcasting is an easy way to automatically receive your favorite EWTN programs on your mobile device. Visit EWTN.com/podcast and enjoy your favorite EWTN shows on your mobile phone right now.
Anna Mitchell.
I had this formative experience during one Sunday Mass in the Easter season in seventh grade. During the Gloria, I remember having this sense of being filled. If you can imagine what it must feel like to be a cup being filled with water, that's how it felt. It started at my feet and it moved up my body. And I've come to believe that that was the Holy Spirit. And I can really trace my zeal for the faith back to that moment.
The Sunrise Morning Show, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie. I am Jerry Usher. Debbie is on location. Debbie Giorgiani in Traverse City, Michigan. Beautiful. Debbie, I'll bet it is just gorgeous. You and I were there in June, and it was just absolutely fantastic weather and just beautiful, beautiful part of the country. But I'll bet this time of year, it's especially beautiful.
Well, get this. Living in Arizona, you have to have the air conditioning on even before you start the car. But out here, it was so cool because I haven't put the air conditioning on twice. I just slightly cracked the windows, and it's just beautiful, cool breeze. So, yep, Jerry, you're correct. Beautiful weather.
Cool. Well, I think we got some people who have those who have left their fingerprints on their lives. So why don't we get started with that?
Okay, so first up is Patty in Akron, Ohio, listening on The Rock radio station. Hi, Patty. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very cool. So what is your experience of this? Who has fingerprints on your life?
Well, there's a lot of people I could mention, but my grandmother came to me immediately. She was my father's mother, and she was a widow before I was born. And she spent a lot of time at our house, and she slept over a lot. And she was a redhead like I'm a redhead, and she wore it in a bun, and I would comb her hair every night. And she would then go up to bed, and I always noticed she brought a pillow with her when she'd come to spend the night, a little flat pillow like a seat cushion. So I was always curious why she took that upstairs. So one night I was probably 6 years old, maybe. And after she went upstairs, I waited a few minutes, and I went up to the room and peeked in the door and saw her put the pillow down and pull out her rosary beads and say her rosary. And I became so taken by that, and I just had this new vision of my grandmother being a good Christian Catholic, saying her rosary every night. And today, I'm 62 years old, and I inherited those rosary beads. And I've always had a devotion to the rosary because of my grandmother.
Wow. Debbie, you got any? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, Patty, your grandmother's name. I actually just, as you were speaking, I thought, why don't we list all the names that we mentioned, my aunt and uncle, Anne's, Jerry's friend, and now your grandmother, and we'll say a prayer of just thanking God that they left, you know, their beautiful mark on all of us.
Her name was Mary Joyce.
Mary Joyce. Okay.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. And you were, you said that she was a widow. And, you know, Patty, I think it was so beautiful. I don't know if you had siblings or if there were other family members that interacted with her the way that you did. But I think it's just precious the way you did. You said you combed her hair. And, you know, she really probably needed that affective connection, having lost her husband, and you helped to fill that role. I mean, nobody ultimately could in a perfect sense other than her husband, but you really were a friend to her as well. There's no question you left your fingerprints on her life. And I just,
wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and another beautiful thing is Joy, Patty and Debbie, you know, her humility. And Patty, let me say this. I'm going to say it playfully, so don't take this the wrong way. If you had not gotten nosy and snooped, you know, you never would have known, you know, the humility that she had. She didn't tell anybody what that pillow was for. And she just quietly slipped into her room every night and knelt down and prayed the rosary. And I think that is absolutely beautiful. And it sounds like that's had a great impact on you as well, like you said. So, Debbie,
yeah,
you got anything
and
else?
What amazes me, what I love about it, is that she never preached about her faith. She just lived it. And I was so in love with her. I knew all of my grandparents, but she was so, there was something about her. And it feels to me when I think back that peeking in and seeing that was the answer. That's what makes Grandma different.
What a great story. I just love the fact, too, that you both share the red hair, because that'll always keep it on the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, it always wrapped in a long bun, and when you unwrapped it, it would fall down to the floor when she was sitting in a chair.
Wow.
And right to the day she died, she was in her 80s when she passed away. She's just beautiful, you know.
Right, fun. But Patty, before we let you go, are you the only one that got your grandmother's bright red color?
No, I have a sister and a brother. There's six of us, so three of us were redheads. And just a little ending to the story is my oldest granddaughter, who's 11 now, I babysat her till she was four, and I'm very close to my two granddaughters, so I would share the story. They would ask me, well, what is this? Because they don't go to the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I said, these are rosary beads. And so I was able to explain that to my oldest granddaughter. And without her going to church, she was baptized Catholic. When she was in third grade, she went to her dad and said, I want to receive First Communion.
Wow.
And they were kind of against it, and she persisted, and she did go to PSR classes and received her First Communion, and I gave her her first rosary, and so she has now at least received the sacrament of First Communion, and I really feel that was passed down from my grandmother to me to my granddaughter.
There you
amazing.
Go.
Legacy lives on, Jerry.
Yep, the fingerprints continue to be handed on. Patty, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And we have a lot more folks here who have similar stories of those who have left their fingerprints on their lives. Have a great day, Patty, there in Akron. 800-585-9396. You get the gist of it here, folks. We're asking you if there's been somebody in your life who has just done something, maybe just the lived example that you witnessed in them has helped to shape you and form you in a very deep place, you know, make you who and what you are today as a person. 800-585-9396. Charles is next in Fulton, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Charles. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Oh, good afternoon.
Howdy.
My train of thought just went right off the track.
Oh, sorry about that. Whose influence was the key in your life? Who left their fingerprints in your life, Charles?
Yes, thank you for putting it back on the track. Father Guy Beccaro was my first exposure to the church. I was having a personal issue, and the usual resources I would have sought just weren't helping. So I figured, well, why don't I try talking to a priest, because he might have a perspective I would never have thought of. And I went and I had to sit through Mass. I'd never been to Mass before. This was 8 years ago. And normally I'm a very indecisive person, but between sitting through Mass and speaking with Father Beccaro, within 3 days I'd made up my mind I needed to get baptized.
Wow. And you subsequently have been, Charles? You're now baptized in the Catholic Church?
Yes.
Good. Beautiful. Praise God.
The 18th of April, 2010.
Nice. And forgive me, I couldn't quite, I might have a little bit of a sketchy connection. Father, what is the priest's name?
Guy Beccaro.
Okay. Did you say Guy like G-U-I? G-U-I, I'm sorry?
Yes.
Guy, and then the last name?
Beccaro.
Okay, Beccaro. Got it. I'm sorry. Okay, great, because we're keeping a list so we can thank God. Boy, that's a huge transformation that happened in your life, Charles, very quickly by this very influential priest that you encountered. So I think that's God's providence, Jerry.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of ways that someone can leave their fingerprints, their mark, their influence in our lives. And in Charles, in your case, we don't know what your eternal fate would have been. Only God would know that. But it's a whole lot more secure and certain now. And so that, Charles, I'm sure is something you maintain to this day, a very, very deep gratitude to Father Beccaro for.
If I hadn't run into him, I never would have joined the church. And if that hadn't happened, I'd probably be dead.
Mm, wow. Well,
I've got depression myself.
Wow. Mm. Charles, you know what? I'm going to pray for you, Charles. And we just ask the Lord even right now, Charles, to give you peace in your heart and joy. And if there are any issues that have led you and anybody else. I correspond via email with some people who go through depression, and I just pray, Heavenly Father, that it's a horrible thing, God. It's very, very, it's horrible. So that's the only way to put it. So, Charles, I'm going to pray for you and every single person on this planet who has depression, anxiety, any sort of issues that are keeping them from living fully the peace and the joy that God has for you and for all of them. So, Charles, be assured of that. I can guarantee you that. And I know, Debbie, you will join me in praying for that as well. And I kind of struggle between Ann McChrystal and a priest friend of mine, Father Francis White, who's deceased now as well. I met Father White, and it was through him I met somebody else who encouraged me to go to Franciscan University, and I was discerning the priesthood. And so Father White as well, God rest his soul. He was a priest until he was about 96. So anyway, Charles, thanks for the call. I'm just rambling today.
No, you're not. No, you're perfect. Charles, thank you so much. I just looked up Father Guy Beccaro just to make sure I can get his last name spelled correctly. He's from the Diocese of Syracuse. Syracuse, New York. That is awesome. I love it. What another great, great story. Thank you, Charles, for that. And yes, prayers are with you. Please know that we've got your back in prayer. So feel that, because the Take-Two family is serious about praying. Gloria, waiting so patiently in Bryan, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Gloria. Welcome to Take-Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hello. Can you
Hello.
Hear me?
Hi,
yeah.
Gloria.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
How are you doing?
How are we doing?
My name is Gloria. I just lost my husband July the 20th. We were married 51 years.
Mm.
He was a great influence on me because he always trusted on the Lord when they told him that he had cancer. And he said, okay, what's the next thing to do? And he never complained, and he never got angry. And when finally he had to make a decision of letting stop taking medication because due to the effects on him, he was put in hospice for 18 weeks. And all those days, he never complained. And the father, the priest that influenced both of us was Father Edwin Booth. He's now a priest over in somewhere around the Round Rock area. We learned so much from him. He got us closer to the church and to praying and doing the hour of adoration. And but my husband just believed that God would heal him, if not physically, but after he passed away. And I'm having a hard time because, I miss him so much. He was my rock, and the priest too. And Father Edwin told me, Gloria, offer all this loneliness and pain and suffering to God. And yeah, that's all I have to say.
Well, Gloria, just hang on with us because we've got a break coming up. I just wanted to offer you just maybe a little bit of words of hope. And then also, when we come back from the break, I'd love to get your husband's name so we can pray for him as well and add him to the list. And you said Father Edwin, and you know, more wonderful, inspirational stories of folks that stepped out and were they were influencers in our lives, and it's a wonderful thing to celebrate them. And that's what we're doing today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So dial in, be part of the show.
The reason for our hope with Father Larry Richards.
Once someone's died, you remember explicitly what that person said to you. Now, so we go back and we start off with King David. Now, King David is a good man to begin with, because King David, the word David means beloved of God. God says of David, he is a man after my own heart. But you all know David, right? He was a murderer. And yet God said he was a man after his own heart, because David kept getting up and trying, repenting. We have the beautiful Psalms. God have mercy on me, calming from David, huh? So he knew what it was to be a man. And so here's King David, and he takes his son Solomon. The last words of wisdom he gives him. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. He says, I am going the way of all mankind. So, take courage and be a man.
Jumpstart your faith. Now coming to a parish conference or retreat near you, world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
It's not enough to stop doing whatever it is that's keeping you from union with God. For most of us, there are serious issues that need to be addressed first in order to be able to embrace that life of virtue. All those things we're all called to, but which every one of us struggles to achieve.
Invite Jerry Usher today. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
We're so glad you're with us. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And you are just, you're amazing. I just have to tell you, the stories that are coming in and folks that are sharing their comments, you have such a deep, deep faith, and you're so filled with gratitude and joy for the people around you. And when Gloria, when you were speaking and you were talking about 51 years being married to your husband, and he passed and he had such an impact on you, and going through the illness that he went through, the cancer, you said, and then you said, I believe you said Father Edwin said to offer it up, if you will. And those two encounters that you had have certainly left an impact on you. And what I think is what's wonderful about you is that you're very honest with your feelings. I mean, of course you're sad. Of course you're grieving. I mean, you've lost your husband here on earth. But what I love about you is I sense that there is almost a need to impart that or to pass on that story of what you have encountered. And I just want to say, I encourage you to do that, because that can help with the grieving and can help in healing, because you have a lot to say. You've lived a very fruitful life, and it's important for you to get those experiences out to the world, because, you know, that's how we all learn and grow. So, Gloria, I hope that brings you a little bit of healing and comfort, but if you can impart your husband's first name, we would love to add him to the prayer that we're going to say at the end of the show.
Marcelino.
Okay, and then you did say Father Edwin, correct? Father Edwin. Okay. So do you? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, does that bring you any comfort? Because the more you talk about it and bring forth your experiences, it can really help you.
Yes. I just want to say to couples that are married, they're going through something. It's just the things that are earth do not matter. It's that person next to you. And you said, I do it in front of God. And it's no longer just the two of y'all, but it's God. And to love on each other, the little things don't matter. Because one day, one of them will be gone. And you want that touch, that hold, that kiss on the cheek. That's what I miss, him holding me. And what's so hard for me is that on Tuesday, every Tuesday around this time, he called me over and says, Gloria. Yes, honey, what is it? I said, can you wait a minute? No, I can't wait. I need to ask you a question. And he said, please let me go. And I said, sure, I'll let you go. I'll be fine. I know you're going home. And then 2 days later, he died. So that's all I have to say, that loving each other is so important. Whether you're rich or poor, earthly things don't mean anything to me now. I never did. I just miss his loving arms and his kiss and his touch. And he was a great man. He had a lot of wisdom. His children loved him a lot. They trusted him. And he taught himself how to play guitar, and his ministry was singing for God.
Well, Gloria, it is often said that we learn more about a person in the way they die than in the way they lived. And it sounds like he lived an amazing life, but died, if I may put it this way, an amazing death in embracing it and not complaining, as you said. And just really that witness alone is going to have his fingerprints are going to be on a lot of people's lives because of the way he embraced God's will at the end of his life. And you are a sweet, sweet lady, Gloria, and you have put your finger on what is important, and that is loving those whom God has put into our lives. And that's really what this life really should be all about. So some of us lose track of that, Debbie, occasionally, and I think Gloria has just helped to refocus at least my heart in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gloria, I just wanted to say too, just I know you're heading off for the rest of your day, but if you're still listening, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking the good Lord to allow you to feel a heavenly embrace that can somewhat feel as good as when your husband was alive and you felt that human embrace. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I remember when I was going through my divorce and my kids were going part-time. It's nothing like what you went through, Gloria, but I remember saying to the angels, you know, take care of them, and I still want to, you know, feel like I'm with them. And for some reason, I don't know if God allowed it through my guardian angel or God allowed it just because he saw that I missed that, you know, because when you say goodnight to your kids, you're kissing them on their forehead, you know, the whole nine yards. But I never felt like they were away from me. It was really strange. So I don't know if that can at all bring you some more comfort, but I would just encourage that. I think it's healthy. What do you think, Jerry?
Yeah, I believe, yeah, God is capable of doing any and all of the above, and even especially him as our ultimate lover, the one who loves us more than anybody, his heavenly embrace in a spiritual sense. So, Gloria, thank you so much. Bless your heart. Have a wonderful day. And we are going to get to phone lines are full here. Whose fingerprints are on your life? Whose influence really helped to shape you, mold you, make you the person, hopefully make you better? and helping you leave a legacy, a positive legacy in the world. 1-800-585-9396. All right, Brian was up next in Buford, Georgia. He's got us on the EWTN app listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Brian. Welcome.
Hey, thanks. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome. Good to have you.
Just like one of the callers earlier, one of the earliest ones would be my grandmother, that she was just an amazing lady. She was very loving, giving, helpful. She was funny. And, I had obviously a lot of other relatives, but she's definitely the one that sticks out the most in my mind for being a big influence. And also probably just preface that with my parents growing up, they were never religious, so me and my brother, we grew up not going to church, not having anything like that. But then another person that's had probably the biggest impact on my life has been my wife. And I usually mention this to other people that, as far as I'm concerned, it's like God plucked the wings off an angel and lent her to me for this journey on earth, because she's such a loving, giving person, and she's the one who's brought me to the Catholic faith, because she was a cradle Catholic, and I've been in the church now 2 years this past Easter, so about 2.5 years. And she's just an amazing, giving person. She's a nurse, so that kind of tells you something about her character there, too, that she just has endless energy to give people. And, you know, if I could end up being a fifth of the person that she is, then I'd be doing good. And others that I would say have definitely made an impact now is EWTN and you two specifically, Jerry and Debbie, because I go and walk at the park every day at lunch, and you're my lunch hour is listening to you guys and being able to learn a lot more about the faith, learn a lot of other perspectives that I may have not have thought about from statements that you guys make. And so I just want to thank y'all, too, for being a big influence as well.
That is really, really sweet. Thank you, Brian. We really appreciate it. But back at you, because if you weren't taking us on your lunch hour, then we wouldn't really have a need for the show. So thank you for that. But, Brian, can you give me the first names of your wife and your grandmother, and so that we can add them to the final prayer we're going to do at the end of the show?
Sure. My grandmother's name was Tommy with a Y-E on the end.
Tommy, like a T? Tommy?
Yes.
Okay.
T-O-M-M-Y-E.
Got it.
And my wife's name is Heidi.
Heidi. Okay. Well, Brian, I would just suggest that you let Heidi listen to this broadcast of the show. You can always catch it on YouTube or EWTN. Facebook page or EWTN.com, and just, you should play this for her, your call for her every year, and I think that's like one of the greatest gifts that a wife could receive, so.
Okay.
Yeah, Brian, I just real quick comment, and then we'll let you go. I know you probably got a lot to do today, but I thank you for the very kind comments, and I always say that, you know, God, we have a risky God. You know, God takes great risks in calling people like me. I won't say this about Debbie, but to people like me to do something like this radio show, and we do it, you know, it's the grace of God that accomplishes anything. And if we can go back, and I was mentioning, if you heard at the start of the show, my dear friend Anne, who really helped me out in 2011, and I told her anything that God would accomplish in and through me after that she helped keep me alive that year, would have her fingerprints on it. And this is an example. You are sharing what EWTN has meant to you, and this goes back not just, you know, it's not just a it shouldn't be, you know, about me. But I point to those others, you know, and Debbie, I know you do too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so this is the beautiful thing about the interpersonal relationships, and especially, you know, those who, you know, are members of the faith, the family of faith, and so forth. So, Brian, thank you for your call. Welcome a couple of years, 2.5 years ago. Welcome home into the Catholic Church, brother. Mm-hmm. We're grateful that you called, and you've been listening for a while. Thank you, Brian, for that. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Okay, God bless you. Wow. A lot of good stuff. We're going to get right back to your calls in a second. Debbie, can I mention Catholic News Agency?
Yes.
Do you mind if I... Catholic News Agency is the only fast, reliable, and free Catholic news source. It has blogs, it has stories, it has opinions, and more. And I know it's a service of EWTN News, so you know it's reliable. They have, I believe they have, what do you call it, bureaus around the world, at least correspondents around the world. So if you're looking for news, and folks, this isn't just, you know, such and such parish is having a, you know, fish fry or something. This is news. This is what's going on in your area, your part of the world, and around the world from a Catholic perspective. Log on to CatholicNewsAgency.com and get informed from a Catholic perspective. All right, there you go.
Okie dokie. Deacon Quinn.
Okie dokie.
See, this is what happens when you fly in after midnight at my age, cross country. So I don't know what
three time
to say.
Zones.
Yeah, exactly. Deacon Quinn, you've been waiting so patiently. You're driving through Florida listening on Sirius XM 130. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you got our Virtual Patience Award, Deacon.
That's nice of you. Thank you, Debbie. And thank you, Gary, for putting on the show. I just wanted to mention that when I decided to become a Catholic, my pastor, in his great wisdom, paired me off with a sponsor who had just lost his adopted son to a heroin overdose. And so the two of us were paired off, and I soon realized that this man was, you know, quite a pillar in the church and in the community. He was the chairman of Shearing Plow, at that time a large pharmaceutical company in New Jersey. He had come out of World War II as a captain. He was in the Battle of the Bulge. He graduated from Fordham University and then got his law degree from Fordham. To this day, they even have a dinner in his honor at Fordham Law School. He was on the board of directors of Merrill Lynch. He was a heavyweight, but you would never have known it. He was the smartest and most altruistic man I ever met, and modest man. And so, you know, he had an impact on me because I would attend those RCIA gatherings and, you know, I'd hear things like discussions in morality, which, having never experienced any kind of church life, my parents never took me to church. I worked on Wall Street. I was the head of the bond department for the second largest bank in the world. I didn't care about anything but money. You could have put a dollar sign above my bed and I'd have prayed to that. You know, that's how important money was to me. But this man, he had money more than I've ever had. And what he did was with it, he bought the organ for the church, the altar for the church, and the church that I would be in full communion with over that RCIA period and on that Easter vigil. He would say to me, Greg, I just want you to know I haven't drank from the cup since the last day of World War II, but tonight I'll drink with you. And it stuck with me. And I fell in love with the church. I went back, got a master's degree in pastoral ministry, and became ordained in 05. And where the first thought I had that changed in my head was I was now against capital punishment. On my day of confirmation, it came into my head, I am against capital punishment. And now look what I do. For 17 years, I go in the jails and the prisons. I've been a director of prison ministry for 11 years. Now in the Diocese of Palm Beach for Catholic Charities. I'm on my way to the OCI, and all I care about is to bring faith, hope, and love, those three theological virtues, to these men who have nothing. It's because even their own families, 90% of them, don't even put names on a visitor's list. because their own families have written them off. But I pray for the beauty of Dick Bennett, Richard J. Bennett, my sponsor, to penetrate other lives. A man who, when he died, six bishops showed up at his funeral. That's it, man. That's it.
Well, Deacon, what you have shared, I'm not even going to attempt to add any commentary to that, because that was just absolutely beautiful, and it totally, Debbie, just really summarizes what this topic today is about, the fingerprints, the influence of other people. And now look at Deacon, you know, all the ministry good that he is doing, the lives that he's touching because of Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, just even the impactful statement that somebody can make, that just, it sounds like for you, Deacon, it just pierced through to your soul and it changed your direction forever. And now you're on a mission that no one can take you off of. And I think it's awesome. I just, your enthusiasm and your passion, is just, it's inspiring. Could you give us a quick blessing, Deacon?
Sure. Living and loving God, for Gary and Debbie to continue to touch the hearts and souls of people who are listening, that they too would find relief in the kindness that they'll find from these two people. And Lord, bless all these people with more money in their lives and more and better health in their lives for their family members too. And this in Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God bless your souls.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Quinn from Florida. Be safe driving there, Deacon. Wow, that was great. That was great. Charlene, I'm sure, is going to have something equally profound and moving for us in Boston. Charlene, listening on the Station of the Cross. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Charlene, how are you?
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. Thank you for this subject today. I thought maybe I had nothing to say, but God had different plans, of course.
Oh, we're glad you do.
I'm the oldest sibling of three girls whose mother passed away when I was 10, and the other two were much younger. My father had a drinking problem, and so my grandmother came to live with us. Very short period of time, less than a couple of years, my mother's mother, and she took me to church. I was the only one she took to church. Probably she couldn't handle all three of us, but she took me to church, and that's when the masses were said in Latin. So I was angry. I got nothing out of it. I didn't want to be there, but she took me anyway. And then she didn't teach us about prayer so much. She had broken English from Italy. But she would have us kneel around my mother's bed every night and pray. And I don't even remember what the prayers were. And unfortunately, because we were so angry for the loss of my mother, we were angry with my grandmother. So I feel like I owe her an apology and a great big thank you for bringing God into my life. And for a very long time, I didn't acknowledge it, but now I have a wonderful relationship with the church and my God. And I have my grandmother to thank for that. And I want her to know that what she did was important, even though we didn't see it and didn't say thank you.
Well, you said thank you now. And that's all that matters. And can we have her first name?
Her first name is Giacomina, and I will spell that for you.
Okay.
It's G-I-A-C-O-M-O, Giacomina. Oh, Mina, A on the end, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Giacomina?
Giacomina.
Giacomina.
And her husband's name was Pietro. And
Pietro.
We didn't know him because he passed away before we were even born, but I'm sure he had an influence there, too.
Well, I will tell you, Charlene, I actually spelt it correctly because I have that Italian blood in me, so it was... And I think what is so wonderful about what you said is that you said through the broken English, and I just... It was her spirit. It was her presence.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that she lived the faith.
Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she did. And we also had an aunt on my father's side who was a nun, and I would love to find out more about her, but I don't even know where to begin. And all I know is her name was Aunt Anna.
Aunt Anna.
So there were influences in our lives. There were prayers going up for us, and everybody who met any one of us teachers and neighborhood people, and it looked so sad when they looked at us because they felt so bad for us. But you know what? We came out stronger because of it, I do believe.
Right.
No question. No question, and it just keeps coming, washing over me, Debbie and Charlene and all the other callers, you know, just the importance of, you know, understanding what a difference we can make in other people's lives and recognizing and appreciating the difference others have made in our lives. And we've had a lot of people, Debbie, we can sense emotion welling up, and I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing because, again, what is more important than becoming fully the person who God created us to be? And we sometimes put limits in our own way, and other people put obstacles in our way. But for those who help to clear those obstacles, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It sure is. Thank you, Charlene, so very much for sharing your gratitude for your grandmother and your aunt and just your heart with us. It was a wonderful encounter that you called in. It was meant to be.
Debbie, I'm gonna read a couple of social media comments. I know Debbie wouldn't
okay.
want to read one of them, but first of all, email. We're available at take2@ewtn.com. And our good friend Ron in Los Angeles says, thanks for your fingerprints, especially for Mother Angelica and all those who helped me to come home after 20 or so years. God bless. And Cheryl on Facebook says, Mother Angelica left her fingerprints on Cheryl's life. God bless her soul with his eternal glory. Amen. I was a brand new Catholic when the Lord led me to come across Mother Angelica. And Debbie, here's one from Laura. Laura on Facebook, and I know Laura and Glenn as well. Laura says, Debbie Giorgiani has had a huge impact on my life and has left permanent fingerprints on my life. Without her in my life, I wouldn't be the person I am today. The witness, enthusiasm for her faith, and the knowledge she continues to share, I have learned so much from her, and am very blessed to be able to call her my dear friend for the last 10 years. I love you, Deb. And then there are some blowing kisses emoticons there. So
that was sweet. I love you too, Laura and Glenn. Thank God I didn't wear mascara today. That's all I could say. It would be running down my face. So thank you. That's very, very sweet. But it's all glory and praise goes to God, of course. And thank you for that.
All right. Well, we are literally out of time here. Jill, listening on Barriga Radio, where Debbie is doing the pledge drive. Jill, please do call us on another show, and Kathy as well in Illinois. We wish we could have gotten to you because every single one of the calls today, Debbie, has just been, I've been moved very, very much by each one of them.
I as well. So if we can just list the names, and I wrote down Jill's Aunt Mary and Uncle Gene. So Jill, sorry about that, and Kathy and the others were sorry. But God knows that you wanted to lift up those people that were that had impacted your life in a deep and profound way. So even though we may not mention their name, God knows, because he knows our hearts and he knows exactly what we want to communicate to him. So if we could, can we do that, Jerry? Can I run down the list of names? And then if
quickly,
you could,
yeah.
Okay. So Anne and Father Sylvester Lavalsi, Sister Carmel Lavalsi, Mary Joyce, Father Guy Bacardo, Father Edwin, Marcelino, Mother Angelica, EWTN, Tommy, Heidi, Richard Bennett, Pietro and Giacomina, Aunt Anna, Aunt Mary, and Uncle Gene, and all the others that we had no time to mention. Jerry?
Every one of you, we are going to pray for you, and especially for those who have left their fingerprints on your life. Father, please pour out your grace, your blessings. Help us to see the good things that people do on your behalf in our lives. Help us become the people that we are. Let us live great lives in their honor. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow, tomorrow's going to be another great show. Can I borrow you for a second? Do you ever feel used? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. But until then, have a beautiful
and blessed day.